meaning of Khatam al-Nabiyyin. It is said that the Holy Quran teaches the discontinuity of prophethood of all kinds, because it says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad is not the father of any male amongst you, but he is a messenger of God and خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. In the translation of the verse, the Arabic appellation Khatam al-Nabiyyin is retained because on it hangs the meaning of the verse. It is argued from this that, according to the Holy Quran, there can be no prophets now, even from among the followers of the Holy Prophet. But many seem to forget that in the divine text, the word Khatam is used by God with a fatah, that is, a stroke above ta, not with a kasra, a stroke below ta. Khatam means seal. Khatim would mean the last person or the last one. Now, seal has the function of attestation. The verse in question would, therefore, mean the Muhammad, the Holy Prophet on whom be peace, is the seal of the prophets. The great doctor of hadith, Imam Bukhari, has interpreted the divine title Khatam al-Nabiyyin as seal of the prophets. Imam Bukhari, in commenting upon this verse, has cited the traditions which speak of a mark on the prophet's holy person, which has been called by traditionalists the seal of prophecy. Alas, people do not ponder over the beautiful words of the Holy Book, so they miss its true significance. If they would ponder first over the general context, then over the verses and words, they would not miss the significance of the verse. For without grasping the context, nobody can understand the meaning of individual verses. Now, the passage begins by saying that the Holy Prophet is not the father of any male, that is, he has no physical son. The verse then goes on to assert that although the Holy Prophet is without male issue, he is a prophet, and not only a prophet, but the seal of all prophets. It should be evident that what is asserted in the second part of the verse is an extenuation of what is conceded in the first. The first part concedes an apparent defect. The second part asserts something in extenuation of that defect. However, Muslims who read the Holy Book know that to admit that the Holy Prophet had no male issue is to contradict what is asserted in another well-known verse of the Holy Quran. Inna shaniyaka huwal abtar. Verily, not you, but your enemy is without issue. An admission contrary to an assertion needs some explanation. One verse describes the Holy Prophet's enemy as issueless. The other describes the Prophet himself as issueless. To resolve this contradiction, God makes an important claim on behalf of the Holy Prophet in chapter 33, verse 41. The claim is to repel the doubt or difficulty which the admission of this contradiction may easily raise. The claim is this: true, the Holy Prophet has no physical son, but this is no disgrace. It does not mean that he is really without offspring or progeny. Why? Because he is a prophet of God. As a prophet of God, he would have his followers. His spiritual progeny would more than compensate for any lack of physical progeny. But he is more than a prophet. He is the seal of the prophets. The expression seal of the prophets asserts something further. It asserts that not only will the prophet have followers and believers of the usual order, as seal of the prophets, he will have the further power of raising others to the spiritual rank of prophet. He will be the progenitor not only of ordinary believers but even of prophets. In the verse cited against continuity of prophethood, we really have an affirmation of such a continuity. The continuity of an order of prophethood which has been mentioned and defined already. A prophethood which does not entail the instituting of a new law or dissociation from an earlier law. The continuity of prophethood which entails the revelation of a new law or even partial abrogation of an older law, or the independent, unmediated realization of prophetic status, is offensive to the spiritual fatherhood of the Holy Prophet. It is the possibility of such prophethood only, which is denied in chapter 33, verse 41. The traditions, I am the last of the prophets, there is no prophet after me, and my mosque is the last of the mosques. It is also asserted that some sayings of the Holy Prophet are contrary to a belief in the continuity of prophethood. For instance, he said, I am the last of the prophets. And again, there is no prophet after me. From these sayings, it follows that there can be no prophet of any kind after the Holy Prophet. It is a pity that those who cite these sayings of the Holy Prophet forget that the words, I am the last of the prophets, are followed by the important words, and my mosque is the last of the mosques. The whole saying is, I am the last of the prophets, and my mosque is the last of the mosques. If, therefore, the Holy Prophet is literally the last of the prophets, then the mosque which he built in Medina is literally the last of the mosques. It would be wrong to build any mosque after the Holy Prophet's mosque at Medina. But nobody sees any contradiction between the meaning put today on the first part of the saying and the meaning put on the second part of the same saying. The first part is taken to mean the termination of every kind of prophethood with the advent of the Holy Prophet. But the second part is not likewise taken to mean the end of mosque building. Those very people who believe in the termination of prophethood see no harm in building more mosques. In fact, their zeal for building mosques is excessive. There are towns which contain more mosques than are really required. Many, therefore, remain without worshippers. In many towns, mosques are to be found at short distances from each other, so that their superfluity is evident. If the expression, the last of the prophets, entails the abolition of prophethood, the expression, last of the mosques, must entail the abolition of mosque building after the prophet's mosque. To be sure, solutions of this difficulty are attempted. It is said that mosques built by Muslims after the Holy Prophet's time are mosques devoted to the form of worship instituted by the Holy Prophet. They are built for the same purpose as the Holy Prophet built the first mosque. Mosques built by Muslims, therefore, are the Prophet's own mosques. They cannot be separated from the model which they imitate. Such mosques cannot and do not contradict the fact that the Prophet's mosque is the last. The solution is a valid one. But it is equally valid to say that the expression, the last prophet, does not prohibit the coming of prophets who imitate the life and example of the Holy Prophet, teach nothing new, and only follow him and his teaching, who are charged with the duty of spreading the Holy Prophet's teaching, who attribute their spiritual acquisitions, including prophethood, to the spiritual example and influence of their preceptor and master, the Holy Prophet. The coming of such prophets does not offend against the Holy Prophet's prerogative as the last prophet, in the same way as for the same reason that the building of mosques today does not offend against the status of the Prophet's mosque as the last mosque. Now let us turn to the saying, there is no prophet after me. This saying also cannot mean that there is to be literally no prophet after the Holy Prophet. This saying also means only this, that no prophet can now come who would abrogate the teaching of the Holy Prophet. The prophet's saying turns on the word after. One thing comes after another only when the first thing is over and the second thing takes its place. The prophet who appears in order to propagate, promulgate, and in every way to support and promote the prophethood of the Holy Prophet and all it stood and stands for cannot be said to have appeared after the Holy Prophet. The prophethood of the Holy Prophet would be extant still. The prophet who comes to serve this prophethood is a part of the Holy Prophet's dispensation. Such a prophet could be said to have appeared after the Holy Prophet if he had proposed the abrogation of any part of the Holy Prophet's teaching. A wise man tries to ponder over every important subject and to reach the depth of meaning which every single word and every single text contains. No wonder Aisha, God be pleased with her, the holy consort of the Holy Prophet, fearing that Muslims in time to come should miss the meaning of the Holy Prophet's sayings on the subject of prophethood, warned people, saying, قُولُوا إِنَّهُ خَاتَمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَلَا تَقُولُوا لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدَهُ. Certainly, do say, he, the Holy Prophet, is the seal of all prophets, but do not say, there is no prophet after him. If in Aisha's view, in her knowledge, the coming of prophets was literally over, why did she warn people against saying there was to be no prophet after the Holy Prophet? If, when she sounded this warning, she was wrong, and what she said was against the teaching of the Holy Prophet, why did not the Holy Prophet's companions contradict her? Her warning against the casual repetition of the saying, there is no prophet after me, shows clearly that, according to her, the coming of a prophet after the Holy Prophet was possible. Only such a prophet could not be a law-giving prophet or a prophet independent of the Holy Prophet. The fact that the companions of the Holy Prophet received Aisha's warning without question or criticism shows that the companions of the Holy Prophet understood what she said and believed what she believed.